both of these, and I hope that at the conclusion we will all feel a little closer to Lord Jagannath, to the effect that we will all want to serve him with greater enthusiasm, with greater eagerness, and with greater appreciation of his magnificent appearance to the benefit of all human beings. So we'll just have a very brief kirtan. I've been warned not to let it go too long because of the time element. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jai Jagannath, 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 Jagannath, Jai 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 Jagannath, Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath.
Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Astutara Sata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. And all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Omagyanatimirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I offer my humble obeisances unto his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, without further ado, try to begin this... I don't think I really need this. The signal to begin. The Rath Yatra festival, the parade of the chariots of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram is yearly celebrated at the home of Lord Jagannath in India called Jagannath Puri. At Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath is worshipped in one of the oldest temples in India. I think it was established in 1175. The story of how Lord Jagannath appeared is a very interesting episode in Vedic history, and it begins now. King Indradyumna was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and was very eager to meet him face to face. One time, by the Lord's arrangement, a devotee of the Lord arrived in the court of King Indradyumna, and in the course of discussion, he began to talk about an incarnation of Lord Vishnu named Nila Madhava. After hearing these topics, King Indradyumna became very inspired and sent different Brahmins in different directions to search for
and inquire about Lord Nila Madhava. All of them, however, were unsuccessful and returned to the capital city of the king, except for one priest of the name Vidyapati. After wandering into many places, Vidyapati finally came to a district whose population was of a non-Aryan type called Shabra, pig farmers. There he took shelter in the house of a local of the name Vishvasu. When he arrived, the master of the house was not there, but his young daughter, Lalita, was there alone. In a short time, the master of the house returned and instructed his daughter to render all service needed for hospitality to the Brahmin guest. For some time, Vidyapati stayed there, and later, by the special request of the Shabra, he married the Shabra's young daughter. While Vidyapati lived in the house of the Shabra, he noticed some peculiarity in his host's behavior. Every night, the Shabra would go out, and on the next day at about noon, he would return to the house scented with various fragrances such as camphor, musk, and sandalwood. Vidyapati inquired from his wife about the reason for this, and she informed him that her father would go out to a secret place to worship who? Sri Nila Madhava. Yes. After that day, Vidyapati's joy knew no bounds. Actually, Lalita had been ordered by her father not to tell anyone about Sri Nila Madhava. But she overstepped that order by telling her husband. Vidyapati immediately became eager to see Sri Nila Madhava. And finally, one day, by the repeated request of his daughter, the Shabra Vishvasu bound the eyes of Vidyapati and took him to see Sri Nila Madhava. As they were leaving, Vidyapati's wife secretly bound some mustard seeds in the border of Vidyapati's cloth. And so, while passing on the path, he threw them down to mark the way. When they reached Sri Nila Madhava, the Shabra removed the blindfold, and Vidyapati, seeing the unprecedented beauty of the deity of Sri Nila Madhava, began to dance in ecstasy and offer prayers. Here it is clearly seen that Sri Nila Madhava was a deity incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Deity incarnations are called Archa Vigraha. The Lord appears in deity forms to benefit his devotees, especially those who are less advanced. Since the Lord cannot be seen by any but the most advanced devotees, he appears as the deity to accept worship. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your obeisances, unquote. Therefore, he appears in the deity to accept the worship and obeisances of his devotees. He puts himself in the hands of his devotees to receive their service and help them develop love for him. This is an aspect of Krishna's great mercy and his desire to free all the conditioned souls from bondage in this material world. Thus, Vidyapati personally witnessed the mercy of Sri Nila Madhava. After Vidyapati finished his prayers, the Shabra kept him near the deity and went out to collect roots and forest flowers for worship. While the Shabra was out, Vidyapati witnessed an astounding thing. A sleeping crow fell off a branch of a tree into the nearby lake and drowned. It immediately took a four-armed Vaikuntha spiritual form and started back to the spiritual sky. Seeing this, the Brahmin climbed up the tree and was about to jump into the lake following the liberated crow. As he was about to jump, however, a voice in the sky said, O Brahmin, since you have been able to see Sri Nila Madhava, you should before all else inform King Indrajumna. Thus the Brahmin climbed down from the tree and waited. The Shabra soon returned carrying forest flowers and roots and started his daily worship of Sri Nila Madhava.
as he was engaged in the service of the Lord, the Lord spoke to him, saying, I have for so many days accepted the simple forest flowers and roots offered to me by you. Now I desire the royal service offered to me by my devotee, King Indrajumna. When the Shabra heard this, he thought, oh, I shall be cheated from the service of Sri Nilamadava. Therefore he bound his son-in-law Vidyapati and kept him in his house. After a time, however, at the repeated request of his daughter, he freed the Brahmin and allowed him to go. The Brahmin then immediately went to King Indradyumna and informed him of his discovery. The king, in great ecstasy, went forth with many people to bring back Sri Nilamadava. From the mustard seeds thrown along the path by Vidyapati, small plants had grown. So by following those plants, the king was able to trace the path to Sri Nilamadava. When they reached the spot, however, they did not find him. Not being able to see the beautiful form of the Lord, King Indradyumna besieged this village of the Shabras and arrested the Shabra named Vishvasu. Suddenly, however, a voice in the sky said to the king, release this Shabra. On top of Nila Hill, you should construct a temple. There, as Daru Brahman, or the absolute truth manifested in a wooden form, you will see me. You will not see me as Nila Madhava. To build the temple, King Indradyumna made arrangements to bring stone from a place called Balamala by building a road from there to the Nilakandara Hill. The holy abode of Sri Kshetra, or Puri, is in the shape of a conch, and in the navel of that conch, the king established a town of the name Ramakrishnapura and constructed the temple. The temple extended 60 cubits, or 100 feet, beneath the earth, and rose 120 cubits above the surface, which is about 200 feet. At the top of the temple, the king built a kalasa, or round pinnacle, and on top of that, a chakra, or disc. He also had the temple decorated with golden ornamentation. King Indradyumna, desiring for Lord Brahma to consecrate the temple, traveled to Brahmaloka, spent some time there, and then returned. Indradyumna then prayed to Lord Brahma to consecrate the temple and the surrounding area known as Sri Kshetra, which gives the highest type of liberation. But Lord Brahma said, this Sri Kshetra is manifested by the Supreme Lord's own internal potency, and the Supreme Lord manifests himself. Therefore, it is not within my power to install the Lord here. In other words, what he is saying is that this is not, for example, as we have marble, and then we install the deity by offering prayers and mantras, and we invoke the presence of the Lord in every atom of that marble so that it is completely saturated with Satchit Ananda. So what is being said here is that the Lord is manifesting himself. You don't have to invoke. He is already there. Therefore, it is not within my power to install the Lord here. Lord Jagannath and his abode are eternally situated in this material world by his own mercy. Therefore, I shall simply place a flag on the top of the temple and give this blessing. Anyone who from a distance sees this flag and bows down, offering his prostrated obeisances, shall easily become liberated. After some time, King Indradyumna became discouraged at so much delay in seeing Sri Nilamadava. Deciding that his life was useless, he lay down on a bed of kusa grass, determined to give up his life by fasting.
At that time, Lord Jagannath spoke to him in a dream as follows. My dear king, don't be anxious. I shall come floating in from the sea in my wooden form as Daru Brahman at the place called Bunki Muhan. With a company of soldiers, the king then went to that place and saw on the shore a huge piece of wood marked with a conch, disc, club, and lotus. Although he engaged many men and elephants to move that Daru Brahman or Woody Brahman, they couldn't even budge. But that night in a dream, Lord Jagannath again spoke to the king saying, bring my previous servant, Vishvasu, who used to serve me as Nilamadava, and place a golden chariot in front of Daru Brahman. The king began to work according to the instruction of that dream. He brought the Shabra Vishvasu and put him on one side of Daru Brahman, and on the other side he put the Brahman Vidyapati. Placing a golden chariot before the Daru Brahman, he then started a kirtan, chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Then the king caught hold of Daru Brahman and prayed for the Lord to mount the chariot. Daru Brahman was then easily placed on the chariot and taken to an appointed place. To carve the deity of Lord Jagannath from the Daru Brahman, King Indradyumna called many expert sculptors. None of them, however, was able to touch Daru Brahman, for as soon as they started, their chisels broke and fell to pieces. Finally, the artist Vishvakarma, the architect of the demigods, appeared there in the disguise of an old Brahman called Ananta Maharana, and he promised to carve the deities exactly as Lord Vishnu had ordered him to. He said that if he were allowed to work behind closed doors for 21 days, repeat, 21 days, the deity would be carved. Immediately, preparations were made. According to the old sculptor's directions, all the other artists were engaged in making three chariots. The old sculptor then took Daru Brahman into the temple and closed the doors, after making the king promise that the sculptor would reside alone and the king would not open the doors of the temple even slightly before the 21 days were completed. After 14 days had passed, however, the king was unable to hear the sounds of the artist's tools. And so he became full of anxiety. Although his minister again and again forbade him, the king, on the advice of his queen, by force opened the door of the temple with his own hand. Inside, the king did not find the old sculptor, but instead, he saw that Daru Brahman was manifested in three forms, as Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram. Going forward in front of these three deities, he saw that their fingers and toes were unfinished. The king's wise minister then informed him that because the king had broken his promise by opening the doors 7 days too soon, as the Lord had instructed him, Vishvakarma to not finish the deities. The king's wise minister then informed him that because the king had broken his promise by opening the doors 7 days too soon, the Lord had instructed Vishvakarma to not finish the deities' hands and feet. This is not true, as we will see. Well, the king, hearing this and thinking himself a great offender, decided to end his life. Thus, again, he lay down on a bed of kusha grass and began fasting. When half the night had passed, Lord Jagannath appeared to the king in a dream. He mentioned that it was he himself, Lord Jagannath, who had from within the king's heart urged the king to open the temple doors 7 days too soon. This was to uphold the eternal words of the Vedic scriptures, such as the Shvetavastara Upanishad 3:19, which declare that Lord Jagannath has no hands and feet. You have broken your promise, but that is just a part of the sweetness of my pastime to manifest this Jagannath form. The Lord also said that if the king should occasionally desire to serve him in opulence, he may do so by decorating him with gold or silver hands and feet. I am eternally situated here in Nilachal, the Lord added, in the form of Lord Jagannath as Daru Brahman. I have no material hands and feet, but with my transcendental senses, I accept all the items that my devotees offer me in service. For the benefit of the world, I move from one place to another. The Lord further said that every year there should be a chariot festival in which he, his brother Baladev, and sister Subhadra should each ride on one of the three chariots that had been constructed. Then the Lord mentioned that the descendants of the Shabra Vishvasu should, generation after generation, serve him as Dayatas, those who transport Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram, and Lady Subhadra inside the temple to the chariots outside. The descendants of Vidyapati's Brahmin wife should perform his deity worship and be called Pujaris. And the descendants of Vidyapati's Shabari wife, Lalita, should cook his food and be called Suyadas. The king asked the Lord if he may keep the temple doors open all day except for 3 hours, so that people may have easy access to him. He also asked if the Lord's eating may go on all day. And he further asked if he himself could have no descendants so that no one in the future might claim the Lord's temple as his own property. Lord Jagannath approved all these requests. Then the king asked why the Lord generally had to appear without hands and feet. And the Lord said that the king would discover the reasons shortly. When the king awoke, this is all taking place in a dream. When the king awoke from sleep, Narad Muni appeared before him and explained the mystery of why the Lord had no hands and no feet, as he himself had witnessed it. And this is what he had seen. One day, when Narad Muni was in Dwarka, he entered one of the palace chambers and saw Subhadra guarding a door that led into another chamber. Subhadra explained to him that in that other room, some ladies were discussing Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. They had asked Subhadra to guard the door and prevent Krishna from entering. They felt that if he heard the pastimes they were discussing, he might begin to feel intense separation from the Vrindavan residents and thus become very agitated, which they didn't want to cause. However, Krishna soon entered the room and tried to enter the other chamber that Subhadra was guarding. But she refused to let him inside, stating that some ladies were having a private conversation. Nonetheless, Krishna remained by the door, eavesdropping. As he listened to his Vrindavan pastimes, he became so overwhelmed with divine ecstasy that his hands and feet withdrew completely. Then Balaram approached the door, and he overheard the ladies' conversation, and the same thing happened to his hands and feet. And finally, since Subhadra was also, she'd been listening to the discussion, her hands and feet also disappeared. Narad Muni then begged the Lord to bless the world by revealing himself in this most striking feature of ecstasy. And Lord Krishna agreed. After hearing this explanation, King Indrajumna felt very satisfied. Goddess Sarasvati soon appeared there and advised the king to have Lord Jagannath painted black, Lord Balaram white, and Lady Subhadra saffron. This the king did. Lord Brahma then arrived with many demigods, and he ordered that the three deities be installed on the three chariots. Next, as the demigods held a tremendous kirtan, they took hold of the ropes attached to the chariots and pulled the carts along the wide roadway. This was the first Ratha Yatra festival. Jai Jagannath! And what does this festival actually mean? It symbolizes the desire of the gopis or milkmaids of Vrindavan to draw Krishna back to that scenic village so that they could once again engage in loving devotional service to him and thereby increase his divine pleasure. But what is the benefit bestowed by this festival? The Narada Purana states that if people just see the deity riding on the chariot, they are easily able to ascend to the spiritual world. In this way, Lord Jagannath is liberating everyone who is fortunate enough to see him. So let us try to enable everyone in the world to see the glorious, incomparable, ever-lovable Lord Jagannath. And this ends the awesome story of the appearance of Lord Jagannath. Jai Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! All glories to Srila Prabhupada who brought this to us. Hare Krishna. There's really no time for questions, but if anyone has a question, you can come up. And yeah, you can come up. And yeah, because I've been told to. It's 8:30 now, and I think this is the breakfast time, if I'm not mistaken. But please come up, and you can ask the questions. Get over. Have a second class.
Thank you.